shatteringness. By way of confession, we all have our indulgences. You know, the world is full of aches and pains, and we all have to have our escape mechanism, and mine just happens to be sports. You know, yesterday we had old Nick on, and God, wouldn't it just, doesn't it get old just having to constantly harangue all of these failed national organizations and expose them? Yeah, it does. And so my withdrawal from it all happens to be sports. So I indulge myself here once a week for an hour, and we talk sports. And guys, I think you all know that not only am I a hockey fan, I really like the Los Angeles Kings. They're up 3-0 in the playoffs. How does it looking for the Kings, do you think?
It looks pretty good, especially the way they're doing it. The first two games they were down, and they came back in the third period and won against a very good goaltender in Lundqvist.
Yep. Yeah, Lundqvist is considered the best goaltender in the world. And yet Jonathan Quick was the best goaltender on the ice last night.
Definitely, yeah. And he did it in Lundqvist's building, so that was impressive.
Yeah, in fact, Darren, we've been talking about it. Have you ever seen a better game by a goaltender? His team was outshot 2-1. Would he have something like 40 saves last night?
Yeah,
and pitch the shutout.
Semyon Varlamov put up a couple during the year for the Colorado Avalanche that were similar to that, but he doesn't have nearly the athleticism and the flashiness of Quick, which is what makes Quick's game so much more exceptional.
Yeah, and to have just stop some 40 goals. And by the way, folks, for those of you who aren't into sports in particular, I want to tell you that playoff hockey, and I'm a sports fan. I've been a sports fan all my life. Played a lot of sports, but playoff hockey is the epitome. There is no sporting experience that you can watch on television that is more exciting than playoff hockey. And if you don't think so, tomorrow night the Kings will play in New York again against the New York Rangers. Watch it. I mean, it is pure emotion, and the characters that play the game are not only great athletes, but after the game and they're interviewed, they're just wonderful individuals. But you know, the comparison, though, to Quick and the Avalanche goalie, though, is this
Ranger
was
goalie?
He was talking about how he had seen one or two other games where the Avalanche goalie played out of his mind. This was during the this is not just during the playoffs. This is during the Stanley Cup Finals, and you put together a game like that. It has to be one for the ages.
It's very reminiscent of 2 or 3 years ago when Quick led them to another cup by doing the same thing. He kind of carried the team on his back and put together a string of just stellar performances when he needed to.
So I think that up 3 games to none, even though the first two games in Los Angeles were both overtime winners, that it's the odds of the Kings not winning would be extraordinarily long.
Yeah, it would be, unless they decide to pull a Maple Leafs on this. Yeah, it'd be hard pressed to see them lose this.
You guys are not near the basketball fans that you are the hockey fans. I mean, Minnesota, it is the state sport of Minnesota, of course, is hockey.
That is a misstatement. I am by far a bigger basketball fan.
Oh, that's right. You actually play basketball, don't you? So I should take that back. Well, my favorite team is the Kings in hockey. My favorite team in basketball is the Miami Heat. What do you think the likelihood is the Heat hold a home court and go back to San Antonio up 3-1?
Slim to none. The Spurs are they had the best record on the road all year long. They only lost five or six games on the road all year, something like that, or 11 games. It was some extremely low amount of games. They had the best road record by far. And they're just too good of a team. They're too well coached. They're too disciplined. I just think they pull out at least one game in Miami.
Okay. And, I'm here because I'm a fan. I'm obviously rooting for the Heat to win both games in Miami and to claim their third consecutive championship. Any debate among you guys that LeBron James is the best basketball player in the world today?
I think you'd have trouble finding a debate with just about anybody. I'm not a very big basketball fan, but that seems to be near unanimous at the moment.
Yeah, yep. Everybody that says he's not, they always like to nitpick little things about him. And it's always things that make no sense to me as somebody that's played basketball and watches a lot of basketball. Like one of the complaints is that he passes. You know, he'll pass up, you know, he'll pass. And yeah. It's like, that's a pretty fundamental part of basketball.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, wasn't it Chris Bosh that said after the last game that he said two things. One is he said he's the most unselfish player that he says I've ever experienced in the game, where if he's hot and has a good shot, he will pass it up to give the ball to somebody who has a better shot.
Yeah.
And he says, so he includes everybody in the game, and he's the most unselfish player. And then the next thing he said is that LeBron James is a point guard in a really, really big body.
Yeah, he's Magic Johnson. Yeah, he's a Magic Johnson clone as far as his playing style and that. Because Magic was a big guy, and he was quick and everything like that. And everybody, a lot of fans of basketball always want LeBron to be the next Michael Jordan. You know, oh, he's not like Michael in this way. And to do that, it really, you take away from the greatness that LeBron actually brings to a court.
Yeah, in fact, if I could comment on that I've met Michael Jordan. I did not like Michael Jordan when I met him. Most people that know Michael Jordan know that he is a real jerk. Michael Jordan has a manufactured persona. It was manufactured by Nike. He was the first athlete to become the face of a company. And he literally, well, you know, Arnold Palmer certainly paved the way in terms of his Pennzoil commercials and others. But Michael Jordan was taken to the next level by Nike and Air Nike and those commercials. And so for a lot of people, Michael Jordan is an image as opposed to a person. And if you compare the two, LeBron James is a much better human being than Michael Jordan.
I'm not going into. I have my own reservations about Michael Jordan as a person. And obviously, if you're going to start comparing the person, LeBron is, like you said, a far better person. Because you don't have any incidents with LeBron and former teammates or things like that. And LeBron would never give. When LeBron makes the Hall of Fame speech, I can guarantee you it's not going to be
like
Michael Jordan's Hall of Fame speech, which became a
vindictive.
Just a vindictive rant. I can tell you right now what LeBron's speech is going to be. He's going to talk about his teammates and how much he loved his teammates and how much playing a game with those guys allowed him to do what he does.
Yeah, and it says a lot about society though. I just like the comparison of these two, because you've got a guy that is unselfish. Here's a guy that could have made tens of millions of dollars more staying in Cleveland, and he chose to take tens of millions of dollars less to go play with his friends, with guys that he loved, because he wanted a chance to win. And everyone is attacking him, and then they want to compare him to Michael Jordan, and it's an image of Michael Jordan that they have. It's not the Michael Jordan the player. It's the Nike impression of Michael Jordan that they compare
him
to.
Yeah, it's the showing of every, now it's the showing of every game-winning shot that Michael hit, to where they built it to where. Ask somebody if Michael Jordan missed game winners.
Lots.
He missed lots. He missed tons of them.
And, of course, the difference is that Michael Jordan probably stole 1% as many balls as LeBron James has. LeBron James is an infinitely better all-around player, and particularly a defensive player, and he's a much better assist provider than was Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan's a better shooter.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, no one shoots a lot better than LeBron James shot in the last game. What did he hit, 6 in a row from long range?
Yeah, and he shot over 60%. First time in finals history that a player outside of a center shot over 60% from inside the paint. He's a phenomenal basketball player, and people always want him to be Michael Jordan. And like I was saying, that when you compare LeBron as a basketball player to Michael Jordan – obviously he doesn't score like Michael Jordan. Could he? I guarantee you he could.
Sure.
He's 6'8", and he's every time he steps on the court, he's one of the fastest guys. And you know that because he's guarding Tony Parker.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure that he could because it's not in his makeup. And he'd have to be a different person than he is. Would he be capable of it athletically? Absolutely. Yeah, he could. Yeah. He could win the scoring title every year should he choose to do so. It's not in his makeup, though. He is the ultimate team player. And it's amazing how many naysayers he has as the ultimate team player. But one of the things, of course, that's just so interesting, the way people respond to him, is the decision where everyone says, you know, what a terrible mistake that was, and it's a big mar on LeBron James because of the televised event, the way that he announced it to Cleveland. I really thought that the decision was produced by ESPN, wasn't it?
Yep, it was produced by ESPN.
And who made the money on the decision? Was it LeBron James or ESPN?
Well, LeBron made somebody gave it all to the charity, the Boys and Girls.
He made nothing.
Yeah, everything that they were going to pay him, he told them, give it to this.
They didn't offer to pay him anything.
Okay.
And he didn't ask to be paid anything. But he did require ESPN to make a $2 million donation to the Boys and Girls Club of either Cleveland or Akron or split it between the two. But do you know that the decision was either the second or third most watched sporting news, just sporting event period, if you even take Super Bowls into consideration, it's the second or third highest watched event of all time. Yeah. ESPN made a fortune on it.
No one seems
to want to criticize ESPN for promoting it, hosting it, for the whole decision event.
Well, and then to add on to that, in addition to that, I mean, I don't have a whole lot of exposure to people that talk about basketball very often. Mm-hmm. I do watch SportsCenter with some regularity. Mm-hmm. The one place that I consistently see people saying, oh, LeBron James is still catching flack for the decision,
right,
and things of that nature, is watching SportsCenter. They say he's being criticized for the whole decision thing. That was you guys that did it. I don't hear other people criticizing him for that.
Right. Yeah. It's just people out of touch with reality. Now, I understand that sports is an escape from reality. But when reality and sports intersect, we have the same disconnect that we find elsewhere. The actual party that's responsible is the party that is shuffling blame over to him. Welcome back to Saturday Miss for having our sports discussion here. Scott, during the commercial break, you suggested there was a reason that LeBron was probably lured into the decision by ESPN, that he would have viewed it as an appropriate thing to do. And I happen to agree with you. What was that?
It was the first time in his basketball playing career to where he had total control over what he gets to do. So I feel like he treated it just like a high school kid, a young kid treats choosing a college. They all call a press conference, and then they sit there, and they got two or three hats in front of them, and then they, I'm going to the University of Duke, and they put on the Duke hat, or I'm going to the University of Kentucky. And I feel like that, you know, this was his chance to get that chance to do that, that he didn't have. He never had that chance to live in high school because he came right into the NBA.
So this was his experience to choose which hat he's going to wear.
Exactly.
And everybody has a conniption fit over it. Speaking of wearing the Kentucky hat, I believe there was an announcement this week that Calipari, who is the coach there, has been offered an extension and upgrade in his contract, and that the contract is for something around 10 years, $80 million. Did I hear that right?
To be an educator of young men, right? As everybody knows, college athletes, I mean, they're student athletes, I'm sorry.
has any basketball player for Calipari ever graduated from the school that he recruited them to?
Probably very few. None of his big names.
Is the University of Kentucky a private school or is it a public institution? financed by the fine people of the state of Kentucky.
Financed by the fine state of Kentucky.
And you want to tell me that a sports coach is worth $80 million?
Hold on. How much do they get if they win a national championship?
There isn't a monetary prize. It's just publicity.
Well, we've talked about the Heisman before and things like that.
Publicity, okay. So it brings prestige to win a national championship. But
here's my problem with it, is that every place Calipari has ever been,
yes,
he's had sanctions from the NCAA brought against him, and then he had to leave.
Now, by the way, you're talking to a guy who views that as a badge of honor. I despise the NCAA. It's why, in fact, if I were to list organizations that I despise in order of the level of my contempt for them, the NCAA would be the highest. So, if you're somebody the NCAA doesn't like, you're my hero.
Well, but still, look at your own USC, the Trojans. You're a Trojan fan.
Mm-hmm.
When they levy their sanctions, what does that do to your program?
Destroys it. And so, with my problem with them destroying the SC program is that the guy Emmert, that was the head of the NCAA at the time, had been the head of Miami during the time that Miami boosters are handing out bucket loads of money to Miami players, and Miami doesn't have anything done to them because the investigation against Miami was so butchered by Emmert. And here you have USC, where there was absolutely no evidence whatsoever that the coaching staff at USC knew anything about what was happening with a wannabe agent down in San Diego with Reggie Bush's father.
You get no complaints from me. I think the NCAA is, when it comes to football and basketball, I think they have their heads buried in the sand and everything like that.
That's far worse than that. I think they're actually evil. I mean, it's beyond to claim that they're ignorant. You know, heads buried in the sand means you're ignorant.
They're
worse. They're far worse than ignorant.
Here's the problem that I have with them is that they try and treat football and basketball like they're a track program and all these other programs that aren't making money. The NCAA does a very good job with secondary and third tier sports. They are horrible with your basketball and your football. Anything that makes money, they are horrible with.
Yeah, the fact is that college football provides about 95% of the revenue for college sports, and college basketball, because the NCAA actually runs the tournament, provides about 95% of the revenue for the NCAA. So the NCAA is run entirely on the men's basketball program, and college sports is funded entirely by football programs. And every other sport is a net loser for the university, that those sports fund the other sports and also fund the university. It's got a real problem with that. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. We're talking about the NCAA and college sports. If I were to redo the entire thing, what I would realize is that there are two sports, basketball and football, that make money, and they make enormous amounts of money for the universities, and the rest that are net losers. Now, I don't have any problem with a university sponsoring a varsity golf team, a varsity hockey team, a varsity lacrosse team, a varsity softball team. But they ought not be offering scholarships to the players on those teams, because those teams are net losers for the university. Now, the problem is that I don't have a problem with an NCAA governing the rules on how we how schools can recruit and reward players for ice hockey and lacrosse and volleyball and track, sports that lose money, even baseball. But football and basketball needs to be taken away from the NCAA, acknowledge that it's a for-profit enterprise, that the scholarships there are entirely unrestricted in terms of the way that they're counted against the universities, and that the players are paid, that they receive a part of the compensation. And if you're going to do that, what you have to do is change the whole conference mindset. You can keep the conferences if you want to for football or maybe even for basketball, but the conferences for the rest of the sports have to be the schools that are the closest, so that the athletes can ride buses, not board jet airplanes and burn 2 hours worth of jet fuel. What do you guys think?
I agree with you. I don't know if just letting them go full bore, you know, do whatever you can to get players here is the way to go. I feel like that would diminish the product.
Well, you're talking about for football and, basketball.
For football and basketball.
Oh yeah, I mean, I'm saying that you have a conference, a for-profit enterprise like the NFL, like the NHL, that's associated with the college game of basketball and football, and that you know that league has rules. You'd run the league with rules, so there'd be rules on how you put together your team and how much you can spend on your team and that sort of thing, so you have competition. But it just ought to be an entirely different – you can't mix NCAA college football and NCAA college golf. The rules have to be entirely different for those things.
Well, I agree with you. That's basically a step toward having the college system of those two sports just be a minor league.
Correct.
So then why affiliate them with the schools at all, other than
the school. Yeah, because there's a natural fan affinity for the schools. So, I wouldn't have a problem with collegiate football at the Division I level being run as part of the NFL. Let the NFL manage the monies and the compensation and the teams are put together. It's just that the minor league teams, rather than being affiliated with the city, are now affiliated with universities.
Why not allow the teams to affiliate with their local university? It would be pretty easy for the Minnesota Vikings to affiliate with the Gophers, pay the Gophers, give the Gophers some money. To take care of these kids, do things like that.
No, but there's 120 of one and 32 of the other. So you've got to, be four. You've got to have, for every NFL team, they would need to have four affiliated universities. But why not?
So you get University of Madison, Wisconsin, University of Minnesota, University of North Dakota, Fargo.
Right.
And maybe... one other university.
Yeah, but I think it makes perfect sense to. But again, college football is hugely broken. You've got schools in the SEC that the player after player is coming saying, "Yeah, we were offered handfuls of cash, and we went to secret houses, and they would just hand us whatever we wanted to in terms of money." And then, and no sanctions. And then you've got a guy like Cam Newton, where his father was negotiating for hundreds of thousands of dollars for him to play after he'd been booted off of Florida for all sorts of misbehavior. You really ought. You can't have that kind of thing. And with an organization as poorly managed as the NCAA, they tolerate it. The NFL won't.
No, I agree with you on every point, but the issue that I see with this ever happening is that that once you implement that system, which would be the perfect system, I think it should be a minor league system rather than this whole idea of a student athlete.
Right.
But doing that, you have now eliminated the student athlete. The only, unless you expect them to keep going to school, but once you start paying them, it goes from, maybe some of them aren't in this to actually try to go pro.
Those that I don't think you're going to change those who choose to stay versus go. In fact, if they're actually paid while they're receiving an education because the program is the minor leagues affiliated with the universities, if you're paying them while they're getting their education, I think they're more likely, and more of them are more likely to stay and get their education than the current system where they get paid nothing and they're risking everything should they not leave school early. So I think it actually makes the situation better for them getting an education.
Yeah, I agree. Or basically, the bottom line is you have to treat the football and basketball, the sports that fund everything else. You gotta let them go by a different set of rules.
A different set of rules, a different league, different management, different compensation for the players, and. If you did that, I think you'd end up with an extraordinary, exciting product where the minor leagues for both basketball and football are the college-affiliated teams, and the college teams would then be affiliated with NFL teams and part of the NFL contract as a whole. You'd have an exciting playoff system. You'd have exciting viewership. You'd have an ethical body overseeing the rules. And you'd probably make a lot more money for those universities, even paying the athletes.
Yeah, I could agree with that. Because it could just be part of the, when you negotiate something, when the NFL negotiates their TV rights, which are astronomical already.
Yeah, about $8 billion.
Why not just be like, yeah, we'll include our minor league system now, you know?
Uh-huh.
or even the... Universities could even do their own. The new system could have their own negotiating.
Yeah, you know, what's interesting, and of course, it's not true with football, but it is true with baseball and most other sports, basketball, for example, that the teams still get to negotiate their own local broadcast rights. And so the universities could still negotiate their local broadcast rights, and those are worth tens of millions of dollars at this point. Universities would make a fortune in this kind of a plan, and the college and the athletes for football and basketball would be paid a fair wage for what they're bringing to those universities. And you could even have a system which you could not have. You know, if the NCAA is forced to pay college athletes because of the suits that are being brought, You'd be in an entirely different situation because now, if you were to pay them, you'd have to pay them all equally. So the girl that plays softball would have to be paid the same as the quarterback of the football team. But if you run it by a for-profit organization, you know, you can have a different pay scale for the quarterback of the football team versus the bench warmer on the basketball team. Everybody is compensated based upon their contribution and ability. Yeah, it sounds like free enterprise to me.
Yes. And then the only other thing I would say is if you set up a new system, make sure you have things in there to protect from you know, if the kid really wants to get his education, if he doesn't perform well and he gets cut from the team.
Right.
He can still go to school.
Gets his education, right?
Yeah.
Still funded by the out of the proceeds of all this. And even why not have the out of the proceeds of all this for the most talented players an insurance policy and have the insurance paid by the team so that the players are encouraged to stay with the college-affiliated team longer and to get more of an education. Because even their downside is protected by an insurance policy that's taken out by the league.
Yeah, I think that's what you'd have to do.
Yeah, it'd be a marvelous combination of things. You know, we've got a real problem in sports. Speaking of managing organizations, for example, the World Cup and football was given to Brazil, and yet the stadiums are not complete and they're having riots. And the International Olympic Committee also gave. Rio de Janeiro, the next Summer Games. Is it that these organizations are run entirely by bribes, that they make these poor choices? What causes the mess that we're seeing now with football and also the Olympic Committee?
my understanding that it's pretty much entirely because they are swayed heavily by bribes, and that's how you end up with things like the World Cup in Rio and Qatar out in, what, 2022, I believe?
Yeah, around 2020, right. Can you imagine playing soccer when it's hotter than hell?
Yeah, it's
literally hotter than hell.
Terrible, terrible idea.
Yeah, I don't know how they're going to do that. The average time, the average temperature during the time that the World Cup is going to be played is 120 degrees.
Right.
What athlete wants to...
No one.
What physician in the world is going to tell an athlete, hey, you should go out and play in that?
But it was all bribes. That's why it happened. You know, and even Formula One had races in Qatar, and they didn't have them in the middle of the summer. But why would you, as a for business model where your fan relationships are extraordinarily important, associate yourself with the world's terrorist gun runner?
I mean, not only that,
the Qatar government supplies all of the guns for Libya, which are now being used, and Nigeria by Boko Haram, as well as in Syria.
Well, not only that, and with the Qatar situation, it's almost like they're not even trying to hide it.
No.
It's just blatantly obvious, everything that's gone on, and the bribes that have passed to land it in a spot that it shouldn't be in.
They came out and said it was a mistake.
Yeah.
Oh, of course, they've admitted it's a mistake. But they've also said, the International Olympic Committee just came out and said, by far the biggest mistake we've ever made is Rio de Janeiro, and that that this is an absolute unmitigated disaster where Rio de Janeiro is in terms of being ill-prepared at this point to host an Olympic Games. Talking about just shattering miss. One of the problems both with FIFA and the International Olympic Committee both having chosen or being bribed into picking Brazil is that while Brazil now is a top 10 world economy, riddled with crime, poverty is an absolute unmitigated disaster. Pollution is horrible in Brazil, and they're most famous for their religious orgy called Carnival. Who in their right mind is going to go to that place? I mean, how are you going to elicit tourists with the pollution, with the squalor, with the protests, with the crime? Hey, guys, would you ever go to?
No.
Brazil?
No.
Also no.
But, you know, you got an advantage here. You know, with your drunken orgy, it's, you know, associated with the big religious establishment, so you get an indulgence while you're getting your brewski.
I believe in a separation of church and orgy.
Well, man, I believe in being separated from both church and orgy, so I'm just one step beyond where you are in this regard.
He's younger.
Okay, he's the kids today. You know, there was I thought it was interesting in the NFL playoffs how Sherman was quite boisterous following his great play that caused the Seattle Seahawks to make it to the Super Bowl, and everybody was saying, "Oh wow, he's a thug," and you know what a horrible, arrogant thing for him to say. The fans now had a chance to vote for their favorite football player because they go on the cover of Madden. NFL game, and the fans voted for Sherman, the very guy that all of the media talking heads have vilified. What do you guys think about that?
I would say it was more the talking heads and the media themselves that took that stance of, you know, oh, what a thug, things like that.
Yeah.
Most people I talked to, yourself, Aaron included, we didn't see anything wrong with it. It was a guy in the heat of a moment, and he said something to somebody that he's had issues.
He had demeaned him in the past.
Yeah, they've had issues in the past. So,
right.
He got back at him.
Yeah. Turnaround was fair play.
I didn't see an issue with it. And ESPN and all these other places tried to blow it into
Is Sherman an inarticulate, dumb football player?
Far from it.
Where did he graduate?
Stanford.
Stanford.
And they have some of the most stringent. I would argue that if you're playing a sport for Stanford, you very well could be a student athlete.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, do you have any idea where Sherman came from and what his father did for a living to talk about how this guy has capitalized on every possible opportunity. You know what his dad did for a living?
He was born and raised in Compton.
He was born and raised in Compton, and his father was a trash collector.
Yeah.
Still works. And Richard Sherman has, by dint of personal sacrifice, dedication, and intellect, has earned this position, and fans are resonate with him. Yeah, he's a big talker. But you know, there was a guy in the NFL is a big talker before him that also happens to be a really wholesome human being. Primetime, Deion Sanders.
Yeah, they both are shaping their image to both be entertaining, be known as a household name rather than, I mean, Richard Sherman, if you followed football pretty much at all, you knew of him and that he was good after that incident.
Yes.
If you were even a casual fan that was going to watch the Super Bowl for the first time in 5 years, you knew who he was going.
So what he's done is he's taken his brand and made it not only national but worldwide.
Yes.
Deion was one of the first people to make it
entertainment.
So football, you could promote yourself outside of football. Deion led to your TOs, your Chad Johnsons. All those guys are
just
same
thing. By the way, I happen to like them. I like the bigger, more flamboyant the character. So long as they can back it up with good play, I find them more entertaining. And what are we talking about sports for? Because it is the entertainment business.
I agree. I like when they can back it up. I don't like I don't like when they reach that point where they're talking just to talk.
Right. But look at Richard Sherman. Richard Sherman right now has a beef with EA, which is the company that sponsors Madden Football. You know what his beef with EA is?
He wants his teammates, the Legion of Boom, with him on the cover.
Yep. So here's a guy. Yeah, he has a big mouth, but he's still very much team-oriented. Reminds me a lot of LeBron James. Talks a lot, but he not only backs it up, he's always talking about his teammates. Hey, guys, it's always fun to talk sports. So we'll do it again next week, and we'll return with the rest of you as we talk the Sermon on the Mount following.